So I've got a lot of passages. I would prefer, if you want to go to two passages, go to John 3. Go to John 3, and I'll tell you which verse in a minute. And go to Revelation 20. Okay, you can go to those two passages. But I'm going to be flying through I got a lot of verses to fly through. So I would rather you take notes and pay attention to the screens. Does that make sense? All right. I want to talk about love today, but particularly love for people that aren't in the kingdom of God. How many of those people that are in kingdom come God and there's people not? Okay, not every, we're all children of God. We're not all children of God. The Bible says, you know what, if you're going to be born again, you have to be born, if you're going to come into heaven, go have everlasting life. How do we receive everlasting life? You must be born again. People that are walking around without without their spirit born again, they've been born once. Okay? Their first time they were born, and they're born once. Jesus says, no, you got to be born again. You got to be born again by the Spirit of God. How do you do that? You ask Jesus to come into your heart, and he comes into your heart, and he rebirths you a second time in his Spirit. Okay? And it's supernatural. And it comes from you inviting him into your heart. Can anyone do it? Anyone can do it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Anyone can do it. What are the words? The words are, God, I need help. Come into my heart. I believe in Jesus. Well, what if you say, I believe in Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive me. You know what I mean? Help me. Yeah, that too. Do you understand? Don't get bogged down in specifically how you say it. Understand, you just have to repent and recognize you need help. Hello? And ask him to come and help you. I can't tell you how many prayers that I've heard people say. And here's their prayer. God, if you exist, come and, you know, help me. Come into my heart. And you know what? And amazingly, guess what happens? You know what? God honors that prayer. Yeah. Amen. And you and I look and think, man, that's not very good theology. If you exist, come in. You know what? The Bible says that all you need is a little faith. Amen. Right? Is that not right? See? How many know that prayer is if you exist? How many know there's something in that person's mind that says you do exist? And see, God sees that. He's looking at the heart. He's looking at the inside. Amen? We get sometimes too theological for our own good. You know what I mean? No, you got to say it like this, and you got to say it like that, and you got to say it like this, and then whoa, 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 whoa. Here's what you got to say. God, I need help. Amen? I need you. I need your help. You can say any of this stuff. I'm sorry. I've blown it. Forgive me. But the main thing you're doing is asking a supernatural God, Jesus, to come inside your heart. Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Okay. Oh, I just have this generic God. No, 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 no. There's no other name under heaven by which men will be saved except through Jesus. Okay, you got to ask Jesus into your heart. Amen? You can't ask Buddha in your heart. You can't ask Hare Krishna in your heart. You can't ask some generic, no, Jesus, come in my heart. Amen? Jesus is the only way to God. So you have to ask him. Is this making sense? Okay, all right. John 3:16, you know what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why did he give his only begotten son? Because he loved the world so much that whosoever believes in him, whosoever, whosoever, everybody say whosoever. Whosoever who? Whosoever, big, tall, short, blonde, you know, brunette, don't make any difference, male, female, you know what? You know, doesn't make any difference, adulterer, you know what? Murderer, sex offender, druggie. Amen? Don't make any difference. Whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Woo! Next verse. For God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world. Jesus didn't come to say, you're bad, and 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 you're bad. You're all bad. That's not what he came. But that the world through him might be saved. Amen. See? You have sin, right? But God's not coming to condemn you. Why? Because you're already condemned. Amen? How many knew without Jesus you already needed help? Why? Well, look, verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned. Everybody say condemned already. See? You could be walking around with something wrong inside your body and not even know it. Hello? Well, we all are walking around with something wrong inside our body. It's called sin. And so that's why you don't have, I taught you this before, that's why you don't have to teach a three-year-old to, you know what, be selfish. It comes natural. Amen? Is that not right? You have to teach a three-year-old how to share, not how to be selfish. They're already expressing the sin nature that they receive from their parents. Does this make sense? Okay. He who believes in him is not condemned. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanses you from all unrighteousness. So he comes in, he cleans you from the inside out. Now your sins, well, we'll look at it in a minute. because he is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. You've taken, listen, the Bible says, Romans 1, you read it, that everyone is without excuse. Everybody say everyone's without an excuse. Why? Because God, the Bible says that you could even tell God exists just by looking at nature. You know what? God is shouting, you know what, through the sunsets. You know what? Through the moon, through the rain, through the all this stuff. How many know you don't have to go to Yosemite to see a beautiful stuff? I mean, Yosemite is beautiful. How many know Pico Revere is beautiful? You know what? The other day, you know, the sunset just so clear. You know what I mean? Oh no, that's just coincidence. Guys, show me the picture, guys. Show me the picture. Guys, you know who that is? Who is that? That's Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking today, I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but I'm trying to be very real. Stephen Hawking found out, so some would say, a brilliant scientist. I said some would say, you didn't have to say that. Some would say he's a brilliant scientist. But Stephen Hawking today made some would say brilliant scientist, Stephen Hawking today discovered the origin of life. Stephen Hawking today discovered, you know what, the scientists are trying to find out what, I don't know if you know this, the Big Bang, they believe all matter. Everybody say all matter. All matter. This is so amazing that all matter was in a dot smaller than the end of a pin. And from that, it exploded and all matter was created. All matter. All the universe from that dot was and all of a sudden, okay, that's what they believe. But Stephen Hawking today found out what was the catalyst for the Big Bang. Is that an incredible discovery that he discovered? Is that an incredible discovery that Stephen Hawking found out today, discovered who created everything? How did he find that out? Stephen Hawking died today. Today. You might have, I don't know how that works because my phone said today. I think it has to do with a time or something, whatever. You say, well, Pastor, maybe Stephen Hawking accepted Jesus. You know what? How, you don't know where he is. You're right, I don't. You know, somebody can accept Jesus right before they die. How come many people, even knowing they die, don't accept Jesus before they die? Here's why. Because they have a lifetime of saying no, 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 no. Let me tell you what. Every single time you tell Jesus no, you leave changed. Whatever we're preaching, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, you know what, you ought to be more generous. You ought to forgive. You ought to show up to this thing. Whatever the Holy Spirit is saying, every time you say no, you don't leave, oh, I'm not changed. No, no, you are changed. You develop a callus that it becomes easier for you to say no to God again. We need to be tenderhearted towards God. I hope he accepted Jesus before he died. But there's a possibility of having said no for 67 years to Christ that he could have, even at his deathbed, still said no to Christ. How many know this is true? Stephen Hawking says this, we are just, this is what he said. Again, maybe he could have changed, but here's what he said. We are just an advanced breed of monkeys on a minor planet of a very average star. Now listen, somebody like him, and I know a lot about his writings, I know a lot about what he's said, I know how adamant he has been against the belief of a God creator. He is said to be a unapologetic Darwinist, and you know what? And that's what he believes. Again, hopefully he could have changed. But listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. If he didn't, I want us to go over some passages. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Starting verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You don't trust me out on that? Why doesn't he just say they'll be tormented forever? How many know forever, eternally forever is forever? Hello? Why does he say forever and ever? Well, here's why. Because he wants us to understand repetition is a mode of learning. He wants us to understand, hey guys, this is not stopping. You say, yeah, but Pastor Drew, you know, that's the beast and the false prophet. That's saying that they are the ones who's going to go in there. That's true. But keep on reading. Revelation, look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there were found no place for them. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing over God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Now look at verse 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Who? Anyone. Anyone. See, they're put in the same place, you know what, that Satan is put. And how long are they going to be there? Forever and what? Forever and ever. Mark chapter 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the wide gate is the gate which is broad. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, And there are many that go by it. Say many. Many. Verse 14. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And difficult is the way which leads to life. And difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Wow. How many find that an interesting scripture? But Pastor, that gate is difficult? Yeah, it is difficult. Because let me tell you about the things of God. The things of God aren't the things of men. The things of God are to be led by the Spirit of God. The things of man are sleeping. You know what? If they give you the goo-goo eye. You know, y'all know the goo-goo eye, right? Hey, baby. You know what? It don't make any difference. It don't make any difference. You know what? Don't miss out on a good thing, baby. Hello? I mean, at least they got a car and a job. And after, don't worry about it. You know what? You can get them saved later. See? You know what? Let me tell you about the things of God. The things of God are you putting down your flesh and you being obedient to what God is asking you to do. Not asking your flesh what to do. That's why it's difficult. Because an easy way is just do, you know what? Do it. Do it. Right? Do it till you're satisfied. What? Whatever it is, I'm gonna do it. Do it till you're satisfied. Some of you gonna act like you don't know that song. You know that song. Okay? What am I saying? I'm just saying that is the easy way. Amen. God says, no. My way, it's not easy, it's difficult. And fewer though who are gonna find that way. But how many know that's also a blessed way? How many know there are some blessings in doing? How many know the Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season? Amen. It's easy. It's more difficult to tell the flesh no, but it doesn't say that's the better way. Amen. See, don't get the two confused. Don't start crying in your tears. Oh, this is so hard. This is so hard. Even the Bible said it's so hard. Yeah, but it's so hard, but it's so good. Amen. Is this making sense? Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left side, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire. Now watch this. They're cursed, listen, not because God didn't want to bless them. We read it already. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever. See, the son was given, but you have to receive the son. No, I don't think there's a God. The Bible says a fool in his heart says there's no God. You have to receive. You don't want a way. Even people who go to church have to receive God, his ways. You have to submit yourself to what he's telling you to do. Yeah, but I don't want to forgive my husband. Well, tough. Who asked you anyway? Who asked you anyway? The Bible says your life doesn't belong to you. Stop making a judgment on. Well, I'm going to just stop judging. Let God judge. Well, I'm not going to forgive my wife. Who asked you? Well, I'm not going to forgive. I'm going to have an attitude. I'm going to make them pay. I'm going to be. Hey. Listen. Look at your clock. Because by the time the sun set and it sets earlier now or later or whatever, you know, yeah, you got it one more hour to act in sin now. How many know I'm being sarcastic? Why? Because the Bible, when it says don't let the sun set on your anger, he's not saying that you can act like ungodly until the sun. No. It's saying, guys, make sure you don't go to bed angry at your husband. Make sure you don't go to angry, you know what, upset with your wife, upset with your kids, upset with, how many know life is real? And God has commandments to us. They're commandments. Everybody say commandments. See, but you're going to say, no, I'm going to do it the way I want, and everybody else is doing it that way. You know what, I got so many, you know, girlfriends that act like this, and I got so many boyfriends that act like this, and I know so many people. Hey, you're not them. What do you want to be, the few, or you want to be the many? Hey, man, how many want to be the few? Well, if you want to be the few, you got to tell your body no. You got to tell your flesh, get in order, man. Knock it off. Watch this. And he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you're cursed. Why? Not because God didn't provide for you, but you rejected Jesus Christ. That's why. Into the everlasting fire. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Do we see a repetitiveness here? Everybody say everlasting. Everlasting fire prepared, you know what, for you. How many know that the Bible says it wasn't prepared for you? It was prepared for the devil and his angels. Amen. Well, how come you're going there with him? Look at your neighbor say, I hope he's not talking to you. Amen. Come on, say it with some passion. Compassion, you know. Man, I hope he's not talking to you. How come people are going there? Here's why. Not because God prepared it to them. The Bible says that hell is being expanded. Why? Because people are rejecting Jesus Christ. Listen, you know what God says? God says, you know what? I will let you live wherever you want to live. Woo-hoo! I'll let you live wherever you want to live. If you want to reject, you know what? If you want to reject the blood of Jesus Christ, you can do that. But I want you to notice, it wasn't prepared for you originally. It wasn't prepared for you originally. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. This is out of the New Living Bible, says this. He isn't really being slow about his promises return. We think, oh man, God, when's God going to return? When's God going to return? When's God going to return? My dad, you know, who's passed away, he's in glory with Jesus. But my dad was hoping that Jesus would return. And people can say, oh yeah, they've been saying that. They've been saying that. They've been saying that. Let me tell you what, there will be a day. And I don't know, for all we know, that day could be tomorrow. You know what? We prophetically heard. How many know God still speaks to people? We prophetically heard a month ago that God is coming sooner than you think. We don't know. Could be in a week. Could be in 2 weeks. I hope it's at least after Easter. Amen. Why? Because I'm expecting a big catch. Come on, this I'm not being coincidental. I'm telling you, I'm going to be out there, and when I have cards, I am looking for, I would really like 100 people behind me. I want to pass out a slew of cards, because let me tell you what, people are going to an everlasting hell without Jesus Christ, and they need people like me and you who just look at them in the eye and say, come on into the family of God. Come on over to church. See, you know what you say? Yeah, but you're just inviting them to the church. Listen, you have no idea. You could get them saved right over there at AutoZone. But they could also come to church here and they could accept Jesus that day. But here's what I'm saying. He's really not slow as far as his return, even though sometimes it seems that way. But he is waiting for the good season that he is not willing. Why? Because he's not willing that any should perish. He is giving more time for sinners to repent. Do you hear the heart of God? Do you hear the heart of God? He wants sinners to repent. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:4, look what 2 Timothy 2:4, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because God wants a big family. You know, he wants everyone, all the ones he created, he wants in his family. Are you seeing this? Mark chapter 2, verse 17. Mark chapter 2, verse 17. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The righteous, the people say, "There's nothing wrong with me. I don't need to repent. I don't need Jesus. I'm fine." The righteous, they're righteous. They wouldn't call it righteous. They just say, "I'm not that bad. I don't even believe in Jesus. I don't believe in that." Blah, 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 blah. He didn't come for them. He came for those who are going to say, "I need Jesus." Can I tell you what? Those people are out there. Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. Please understand this. Please understand this. There are those, and they called him, and here's what they said. They said, they called him a friend of sinners and unbelievers. That's what they called him. He's a friend of sinners and unbelievers. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. Wait a minute. Look what Luke points out. Verse 1 again. Look what Luke points out. And all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him. Everybody say, drew near to him. What's Jesus doing? Jesus is passing out cards. I don't quote me on that. I'm not saying he's literally, but he is speaking. Probably false doctrine. I don't know, but here's what he's doing. He is speaking the words of truth, and they're coming to him. Look at the next verse. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." It's the Pharisees and the scribes that are saying, "This guy hangs out with them." But Jesus ain't hanging out with them. They're coming to Jesus. Come on. This important point. I'll tell you what, I'm going to get people saved. I'm going to go to the strip club. And I'm going to get all kinds of people saved. Hey, well, you might be careful what happens next. Amen. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. See? You know what? We think that we can just hang out and hang out and hang out. And we're saying that, notice who said this about Jesus. Listen, they are not saying this as a admiration and a compliment toward Jesus. This is an insult. They're saying, what a disgusting guy that is. They are the ones. Here, you know what? Be careful who you quote. These are the scribes and the Pharisees. And notice they're complaining about this. First of all, Jesus wasn't drawn towards them. They were drawn towards Jesus. Listen to me, somebody. Be holy as he's holy. That's what the Bible says. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That they will know your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. You start walking in righteousness. You start withdrawing from the ungodly and start living Christ and see if people don't come by your way and ask you about Jesus. Amen? Does this make sense? Yeah, do you understand how it works? I'm so tired of Christians using that as an excuse to get so close to the fire. Next thing you know, they're in the fire. No, no, what happened? I know what happened. You didn't read the Bible. You didn't read Luke 15:1 and understand who was drawing close to who. Amen. Amen. Mm-mm-mm. 2 Corinthians 6:14. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Look what it says. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what community has light with darkness? Why are you hanging out with that dark those people? Well, I thought I was supposed to. Well, of course. See, how many know it's so important? It's part of what God is speaking to us. You've got to read your Bible every day because you don't know these things. You get saved and your spirit is saved, but your mind is, love you, I'm smiling, right? But your mind is still stupid. Somebody shout amen. See, our mind has to be renewed. We don't think right. We don't, you know what? And then you're listening to your best friend Becky on the phone and she don't know anything. Amen. Come on. Some of you got best friends named Becky, huh? I could tell. She don't know. She's not reading her Bible every day. Amen. Do not be unevenly yoked with unbelievers for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness. Next verse. And what accord is Christ with what? Yeah, okay, well, you guys can't read it either. Or what part has a believer with, watch this, an unbeliever? What's going on there? Next verse. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? See, listen, we're just like, get so casual with unbelief and hanging out. And the Bible's serious about it. You see the terms it's using? What are you doing? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And God has said, watch this, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. Next verse. And they shall be my people. Next verse. Therefore, look. Come out. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Notice the sequence. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Main point is, I want you to, you know what? I want you to be separated. Come out from that. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Look what it says. Grace and peace to you from the God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God the Father. It is the precious blood of Jesus Christ that redeems us from the mess. Who's going to redeem them from their mess? The same precious blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Or we say one. There's one. You know what? No, I don't, it doesn't make any difference what the popular people say with the skinny jeans. You know what? The Hollywood crowd, people around you, and they want to, you know what? We're going to talk about the New Age again this week. Don't miss it. Don't miss Sunday. You need to understand what's going on around you. This going around, you need to be prepared. You need to prepare yourself for what's going on. Who gave himself a ransom for some? For how many?
All.
For God so loved the world. Ransom for all. To be testified in due time. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Looking for the blessed hope of the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Who gave himself for us. Guys, God is our example. Christ, who was fully God but fully man, had an option. You think he didn't have an option? He had an option. He could have said, when he went to the garden, said, God, if there's any other, listen to his words. God, if there's any other way, what's he talking about? Is there any other way we can get there, we can redeem man? Let's do plan B. How many of there wasn't a plan B? That's why he says, nonetheless, if there's only plan A, I'm going to do it. Do you hear his heart? Who gave himself for us. When those guys, they come to the garden, and boom, they all get slain in the spirit. Who is the one, think about it, who is the one who is stopping Peter after he sliced the guy's ear off? Jesus is the one who picks up his ear, puts it back on his head. It's like, Peter, not now, dude. Nobody takes my life. I give it to them. Do you understand? That he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Are you zealous for good works? That's what God's called you to. That you would be zealous. What's zealous? Let me tell you what zealous is not. Zealous isn't, well, if I don't got anything going on, then I'll do it. That's not zealous. Zealous is like, I can't not do this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless condition received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. With the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish or without spot. He didn't do anything wrong. He was blameless. The only reason he was on the cross wasn't like the guy on the left and the right. It was the guy who was put on the cross because of our sins. That's why he's on the cross. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Look what it says. And he said to them, now let's transition into our part. Everybody say our part. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every creature. Next verse. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. And he said to his disciples, the harvest... Here, guys, I want us to hear this. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. Everybody say that. The harvest is plentiful. Let's say that again. The harvest is plentiful. Let's say it one more time. And we say plentiful. Think of how many people need Christ. The harvest is plentiful. But the laborers are few. What's the issue? The issue is, everybody say the issue is laborers. Watch. Look at verse 38. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Guys, the issue isn't, is there not people who need Jesus? The issue is there people who need Jesus who will lay down their lives and give their lives for someone else? That's the issue. John chapter 4, look at this, verse 35. I do not say there are still 4 months. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold. You know what behold means? God's saying, hey, pay attention. Behold, I say to you, guys, listen, this is what God is saying to hope. This is what God is saying to us. Behold, look, guys, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Guys, look up. Why did I show you? Why did I show you Stephen Hawking today? Because today, Stephen Hawking is before God, and he's giving an account of his life and all the wonderful discoveries that he made. All the times people clapped for him. All the times that they said, you know what? Yeah, but look what he's overcome. He's overcome the sickness, and he still cares about mankind, and he's done this and he's done that. And look at, and all this. You know what? God says, Really? See, the only thing that is going, where Stephen Hawking lives right now. Guys, heaven's a real place. Hell's a real place. I don't know where he lives. Stephen Hawking's moved today. I don't know where he moved, but I do know this. If he didn't make a radical 180 and accept Jesus in his heart, you know what? Without Jesus, you know what? Everyone's lost. Here's what God is saying. Behold, check it out. I say to you, God is saying this to us, lift up your eyes and look at these fields, for they are already white with harvest. There's people out there, and all they need is the invitation to meet Jesus Christ. It's all they need. But can I tell you the truth? It's easy for us in our busyness. Has anybody ever woke up in the morning and freaked out knowing that you're going to die someday? You have this awareness. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden there's awareness. Oh my goodness. I really will sit before God someday. And all the cartoons and all the cooking and all the baseball and all this stuff that, you know, just keeps us from not thinking. In a moment sometimes of darkness and alone and just time, that we can just finally be quiet before God, and God ministers to us and says, listen, let me tell you what, you're going to stand before me one day. Wow. Let me tell you, those moments are precious. When I found out today that this man died, I just freaked out. I knew immediately. I don't know what I'm preaching tonight. I knew immediately. Can I tell you what? We as a church need to look up. Because you know what? I want to get a big catch. I am not satisfied with what's going on here. There's other people just like you who need an awesome church like this. You know what? Pastors and leaders who will preach the uncompromised word of God. Look at the next verses. And he who reaps receive wages. Guys, God's going to take care of us. If we'll reap, God's going to take care of us. He's going to provide what we need to get this job done. And gathers fruit for eternal life. Gathers fruit for what? For eternal life. That's the whiteness. That's the fields. They're ready. The focus needs to be on people. That both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Man, we're just like, yes! For in this the saying is true, one sows, another reaps. Next verse. I send you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Listen to me. There will be others that have already spoken to people, and you're going to be the catalyst, and all you're going to do is say, here, would you like to go to church tomorrow? And because somebody labored, you're going to be the catalyst, you're going to be the last straw, and that people's going to say, I've been looking for a good church. Hello. Are you seeing that? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Oh, you didn't have in the back. Guys, in the back, you got to flow with me because I still got scripture. Here, I'll just tell you what it says. It's, oh yeah, there you go. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. Do not work. Do the work of evangelists. Fulfill your ministry. For us to fulfill our ministry, you know what we have to do? We have to do the work of the evangelists. For us to fulfill our ministry, because let me tell you what, you need to care about people who are not in the kingdom of God. When we do that, we're going to fulfill our ministry. There's going to be others that come, they'll add to us, and guess what? We'll continue to do this, and we'll start to fulfill what we're called to do. Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Look what it says. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Let me tell you what's happening here. They're told to be quiet, stop preaching Jesus. They won't stop preaching Jesus. They haul them in. They don't know what to do with them. The only reason they're not killing them is because there's so many people around them that are rejoicing. So they won't kill them. They call them in. They beat them, and they tell them, don't talk about Jesus. And then this verse says, so they departed from the presence of the council. But here's what I want you to catch. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer pain for his name. Look at the words. Look at the words. They were counted worthy to suffer pain for his name. Is that what it says? Pain? It doesn't say pain. Yeah, but they were beaten. No, that's not what they were rejoicing about. They were rejoicing that they could suffer shame. Can I tell you what's going to happen? If you will sign that, we're going to go over, I'm going to train you, and then we're going to go over across the street. We're going to go over all places, all kinds of places in Pico Rivera, and we're going to pass out cards. We're going to invite people to the Good Friday service. We're going to invite people the next day to Easter service. That's what we're going to do. That's what the two dates are about. And when you will pass out cards, you will see people, and they are going to, and you will feel shamed. You're going to feel shamed because many of them aren't going to smile at you and say, oh, thank you. This happens to me every single week. Some weeks, a lot of people do it. Some weeks, less people do it. But every week, I have to remember, I am suffering shame for Christ. And the shame is, what in the world are you doing? You know what? You're in my space. Back off, you're some religious, crazy fanatic, and what in the world are you doing? Don't you understand the separation between church and state? Listen, people who are, you know the Bible says, how many know people like to sin? And you're out there giving people an opportunity to accept Jesus, you are pointing out sin. The Bible says that the cross is an offense. I'm offended that you're telling me I'm doing something wrong. Yes, you are doing something wrong. It's rejecting Jesus Christ. And without Jesus Christ, you're already condemned. We're not here discussing your righteousness. I don't care if you're Betty Crocker, you're unrighteous. Amen. I'm serious. Our righteousness is a bit filthy rags, but we want it. We want to say, well, I ain't that bad. I ain't that bad. I ain't that bad. And when you start to invite people to church, you will feel the shame. That's right. Come on, Pastor. That's it. Right there. And here's the deal. You know what? Our flesh. Everybody say our flesh. Can I get real with somebody? Can I get really real with you? Because, listen, our flesh, I didn't say your spirit. You know, your spirit can't wait to get up and sign that thing. Right. I'm telling you, your spirit can't wait. Oh, come on. But our flesh is okay with people going to hell. Don't be offended. I said your flesh. How many know your flesh, man, is just, you know what your flesh is about? Your flesh just wants, it wants to sleep when it wants. It wants to get up when it wants. It wants to say what it wants. It wants to eat what it wants. It wants to smoke what it wants. It wants to drink what it wants. It wants to do whatever it wants to do. How in the world, you ever think of this, how in the world can somebody run over someone and not stop? You know this happens all the time? How do they do that? Can I tell you how they do it? How do people do anything? And before you get all self-righteous against those people, how do any of us do what we do that's unrighteous? You know how we do it? We do it by not putting our flesh under. Listen when I hear all the Holy Spirit saying, we have to. What's this message about? Here's what this message is about. We've got to start to have compassion, knowing that the only difference between a bunch of those people across the street on Friday and Saturday and the difference between them and Stephen Hawking is just time. It's the only difference. And you know who can change that whole thing? People who will lay their life down and do what it takes to confront people. That's what you're doing. That's why you feel the shame. Because you're confronting. When you just respond and say, "Hey, I'm Pastor Drew. I'd like to invite you to my church." You know what you're saying? You know what? You're saying, you probably don't have a church. You probably don't care about God. You're probably too busy. You're probably just giving that card. And it gives, you say, well, yeah, but what if all of that's going on? Listen, it's your role just to invite them. And instead of going, no, I don't want to do that. That makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't want to feel uncomfortable because I just like to do whatever I like to do because that's how I like to do it. Okay, I don't know what we call that. But I know what it's not. It's not Christianity. And I'm saying, Pastor, I think you're just trying to get me to sign up. You are. I already told you at the start what my plan was. Ooh, you're sharp. I told you what I'm looking to do. Now listen, I got to stop. If you can't do the one, do the other. Everybody say two. Now, let's go over this because I need to spend some time. I haven't dismissed you yet. I will soon. But you need to go over, you need to hear this. Okay, so here is the game plan for Easter. Easter is on the April 1st. So here's what we're going to do. On Friday, Good Friday, at 4 o'clock, everybody say 4 o'clock, we're going to meet here in the South Sanctuary. We're going to have cards. We're going to pray. I will have already prayed over the cards. We will pass out the cards. We will go across the street. We'll go to different places depending how many people we have, and we'll pass out our cards. Amen? Amen. That's what we're going to do. And then, let's see, what are the dates again? Okay, so then the 25th, everybody say the 25th. The 25th is Sunday, and that Sunday we are going, oh, thank you. That Sunday, we are going to meet here at 4 o'clock and pray from 4 to 5. What are we praying? We're praying for this harvest on the 30th. Amen? How many know we need to pray before we go out? Okay? So We're going to come here. We're going to have a big catch here. Then we're going to all come to the event that night and see all kinds of people get saved. Then on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, we're not going to do drive-through prayer. Everybody's going to be together. At 10 o'clock, we're going to meet. And from 10 to 1, we're going to go out passing out cards again. Then Saturday night, from 5 to 6:30, we're going to be praying for the service the next day. What about prayer in the morning? Pastor, we're going to have prayer in the morning? No, we're not. Why? Because I don't, listen, we're strategic. I don't want you to be praying in the morning. I want you to come Saturday night and pray with me at night. What do I think I want you doing Sunday morning? Being at church. What else do you think I want you doing Saturday morning? Wait, what? Ding, 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 ding. I want you picking up the people that you've invited. I only want you. Why? Because we've already done the praying. We've already done the praying. Now, on that day, we're picking up people. We're making sure. Listen, you have people in your family that don't come to church regularly, but they can come Easter. They should be the first people that you make sure. Fill up your car. Get friends. Get family. Get all kinds of people. Yes, we're passing out. Who are we passing out these cards to? People we don't know, but there are people that we know that we can pick up Sunday morning. Listen, Pastor, what are you expecting? I'm expecting all three services absolutely packed. Yes, we are inviting people before the Good Friday service. What are we doing? We're out there on the street. We are out there right before the service. We're saying, hey, tonight at 7 o'clock, tonight at 7 o'clock, tonight at 7 o'clock, tonight at 7 o'clock. I'm expecting the big catch. I'm expecting the people, if we will invite them, they will come. Look up your eyes. See the harvest. That's what I'm praying for. And I'm praying for you. I am absolutely, the only reason I only have 50 slots over there is because that's all the room I have for. But I'm not expecting 50 people. I'm expecting 100 people. Let me tell you what I'm expecting. I'm expecting 100 people come in and invite. I'm expecting that Sunday the 25th, that there would be 100 people on their knees down front praying that people's hearts would be tender for the things of God. Then I'm expecting that when we go out and we invite this Saturday, this is the day before Easter, where we're inviting people for 3 hours. We're passing out cards, passing out cards, passing out cards. And then that night, right before Easter, we are praying that tomorrow, that the words that I speak will be anointed, and that the words that you spoke, that those cards will have a great impact in people. I'm just telling you what, we are, listen, the DNA of our church is changing. We are becoming way more outreach oriented. And if you say, Pastor, when are you going to get off this? When are you going to get off this? If you're waiting for me to get off this, it ain't gonna happen, amen. I told Tamara this morning, I love what's happening in our church. And can I tell you what? Who's gonna be out there? I'm gonna be out there with you. I'm gonna be out there like I was out there last week, like I was out there the week before, like I was out there the week before, like I was out the week before, and like I was out there the week before. You say, Pastor, why weren't you out the week before? Because I just had gotten comfortable with just expecting somebody else to invite people. And the Holy Spirit busted me and said, Drew, you should be uncomfortable with the amount of people that you invited last year. And I said, God, I want to change. I want to look different. I want to act different. I want to think different. And what I found out this morning, I'll close with this. When I found out this morning that Stephen Hawkins died, it freaked me out. Because I knew. Without Jesus Christ, he is living. Listen, let me tell you where he's living. He's living in hell. Not a place that was created for him, a place that was created for Satan. And his God doesn't expect that anyone given Jesus Christ would say no. And I don't know who's across the street, but if it's up to me, I'm getting him into the kingdom of God. As much as it's up to me, I'm getting him in the kingdom of God. And I'm looking, I'm asking, who's coming with me today? I'm asking, who will? Yeah, but I got to rearrange your schedule. That's what I'm saying. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what was taught in the youth. I thank you for these people who listened to the word. I thank you that we receive it with gladness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.